Okay. This is our conference line that we're holding every Monday on BBS Radio streaming audio. And gosh, we already have a bunch of people on the line. And my name is Wayne Free. And we've been doing these conference lines, not actually on the radio, but on just a telephone line, for about over a year now. And I'll share something with you about it, but let me just see, somebody else just checked in. Would you like to say your name and your city?
Samuel, Phoenix, Arizona.
Samuel in Phoenix. Hi, Samuel.
Hi.
And someone else just checked in. Would you like to say your name and your city? You don't have to. But you could. Okay. So, this conference line started as a result of, I'll just keep identifying people and talking in between. My name is Wynn, and our moderator tonight, would you like to say your name and your city?
Hi, Wynn. This is Diane calling from Mountain View, California.
Hi, Diane.
Hi.
Yeah, I'd like to introduce you to this guy, Wesley. He's on the line.
Sounds familiar.
Where are you, Wesley?
I'm in my car in between San Jose and Mountain View on my way home.
You're a moving hologram, okay?
Yes. Aren't they all moving? So, aren't all the holograms moving anyway?
All holograms are moving, but sometimes they're moving more when your body's moving.
Right.
Momentarily, you know, we get to anchor the bit of physical. You know what I'm talking about.
I know what you're talking about.
My name is Wynn. Would you like to say your name and your city?
Anna from Berkeley, California.
Hi, Anna.
Hi.
And okay, so this is our night that we're on live on BBS Radio. And we thank Don Newsom for making the space available so that we could do this. And as I started to say, but didn't get very far into, this conference line is an experiment. It's an experiment of actually bringing energy through the veil, connecting with intelligences that are normally invisible in this realm, and bringing them through the veil so that if you are open during the course of the line, you may have some kind of experience of those energies in your space. If you're listening for the first time, it's something that you have to check out, consider, so that you decide if you can trust it or not, because that's very important. If you're going to open yourself up to energies in your space, then you have to make the personal decision whether it's trustworthy. And so that's what I invite you to do. Check this out, listen to it, and be neutral and decide as we go along. Somebody else just checked in. My name is Wynn. Would you like to say your name and your city?
Debbie in Los Angeles.
Hi, Debbie.
Hi, Wynn.
Hey, Debbie, remember, this is the night we're on the air.
Oh, you are?
Yeah, we're all over the world tonight.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, how exciting. Am I supposed to be able to check you out on the web? Was that the deal?
I'm on the web. Well, you can be listening. I'm just telling you, don't say anything dirty because we're on the air.
Oh, poo.
Wouldn't you love it?
Okay. My name is Wynn. Would you like to say your name and your city, please?
Yep. This is Bonnie from Quincy, Massachusetts.
Hi, Bonnie.
Hi, Wynn.
You know, you have that Massachusetts accent, which I've been hearing a lot of lately.
Well, actually, I don't. It's more of a broadcast accent.
A broadcast?
Yes, because I was in music. I was in voice. When
oh,
I was done.
Okay.
My voice teacher made me get rid of it.
Super. Okay. My name is Wynn. I'm the moderator. Would you like to say your name and your city?
This is Robert from Cleveland Heights.
Hi, Robert.
Hi.
And Gary and Marianne are here from San Diego.
Hi, Gary and Marianne. Are you guys on the same phone line? Okay. My name is Wynn. Is there someone else on there that would like to say hello? Okay. Did someone say something?
I just said that maybe she didn't answer your question because she probably muted herself.
That's okay. That's not important.
Yeah.
Thank you. So in any case, I am the principal author of the book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. And in that book, there is this group Oversoul that has identified itself by the name of Ra. Now, when we say it's a group Oversoul, we don't know that. We just know what they say. But I studied this thing, this case, for quite some time, and I came to the conclusion that it was real, that actually Edgar Cayce's back in the world. The same source that spoke through Edgar Cayce is now speaking in current time and explaining what's happening on our planet in a way that a human could not figure out for themselves. So one should approach information like that with scrutiny, with discernment, and even with skepticism, because if something is true, there has to be a way to validate it other than blindly believing some voice coming through somebody. So in my case, while I was writing the book, I had this situation where I found out that they were paying attention to me, some of these same voices, and they started communicating to me through two personal relationships and in my dreams. And that's, when it first happened, I said, geez, am I going crazy? Is this real? And then I had ongoing questions and answers, and they graciously answered every question I could think of and predicted things in the future, did a miracle or two, and there were two group souls that identified themselves. One was the Council of Elohim, or is the Council of Elohim, and the other is the Ra group. And the Elohim is the name of God in the Old Testament, and I looked up the word Elohim, and they said they were the same Elohim. And again, I was still checking it all out and saying, could this be true? And this is going on now for 7 years, and I have an idea that I think it is true. And I am talking to who they say they are. And we started the conference call because I said, if we do this call and I invite people to listen in, would you work with the people who are on the line? And they said they would. And so then I said, well, let's see if that works. I considered it an experiment. And people started changing who were on the line. They started, some of them had some medical miracles. Some of them had some little miracles in their own lives. And many of them changed their vibrations. They started to make a connection with these energies. And that's why I say, while you're on the line tonight, you might experience that. You might experience like a light energy in your room. You might experience a lifting of your vibration. And if you check into the line often, you may find that this lifting of vibration becomes a new reference point and a connection to energies that are coming from outside of this realm, beaming into this realm. And this is where every person should check it out and use their own discernment. And of course, reading my book, reading some of the stuff that's on the website, listening to some of the live channelings which are posted on the website can help you make your own decision for yourself if this is valid or not. A couple people came in. My name is Winfrey. Would you like to say your name and your city?
Hi, Wynn. This is Elisa in Avila Beach, and
this is Dorian in Santa Barbara.
Hi.
How are you?
This is Fred from Rockland, Kathy's friend.
Fred from where?
Fred.
Rockland.
Sacramento.
Sacramento.
Yeah, sorry.
Okay. Fred, have you been on the line before?
No.
This is your first time?
Yes.
How did you hear about us?
Kathy.
Oh, Kathy. Kathy is on the line.
Sacramento.
Did
we were at
you?
A Living Expo together.
Okay.
He took me to the Living Expo.
I see. He was the guy that took you there.
Yeah,
but he's never checked into the line before.
No.
Okay.
You've tried to, right, Fred?
Yeah, I tried last week, and I kept getting a busy signal. I think just my carrier was just overloaded with outgoing calls.
Well, sometimes our conference line gets busy, and people can't get in occasionally. So if you're diligent, if you get a busy signal, if you keep calling, usually you will be able to get in eventually. So in any case, Fred, I was just telling everybody that I have a situation where I hear voices, and they've been talking to me and inviting me to ask them questions. So for the past few years, I've asked a lot of questions, and the voices have come in the form of three ways. They've come through two personal relationships and in dream messages. And what we do on this line is we read a channeling, and you can hear one of the questions and answers or what these voices are saying. And they identify themselves as group souls. And there's kind of a paradigm or a way of looking at things that for some people might be somewhat new. And that is that reincarnation is real. And, you know, if you're hearing this for the first time, don't believe it. Just consider the possibilities. Reincarnation is real. And we all have many, many lifetimes. And we exist as an energy as well as a physical body. That energy exists right now in another dimension for each of us. And although we can't see it, there are indications when we are connecting with it and when we are not, when our physical bodies are separating from that energy. And in fact, the part of us which is that energy can also connect with the energies of other beings. And during the course of this call, there is a connection made for those people that are open to it, where we actually start connecting our energies together in other dimensions or on the other side. And now, I can't see that any more than you can. So this is where you have to consider the possibility that that might be true. And when that happens, there's something that you can experience in the physical. And these are some of the signs that those energies are connecting. And I'm going to mute everybody. And so, for example, you can be in your space right now and feel the space around you. Feel the space inside of you. And for some of you on the line, you can feel a peacefulness. You can feel a presence. The presence might be like a glow in your room or an opening in your chest. And as a number of people on the line feel that energy, we are all connecting in another dimension via this call. And the experiment that I started was to say, if I'm talking to these voices, and they're from other dimensions, and they describe themselves as group souls who can come into this dimension as love light energy that can work with people and help people, be companions for people. If that's real, if I did a conference call, would they work with the people on the conference call? Could they help uplift people? Could they help people go through patterns that are stuck? Could people make a connection with them that was in a positive way? And so they told me that they could, that they would do that. And so my experiment was to do a call and to say, okay, let's be open and see what happens. And we read, actually, the Monday calls are always a little different. And we've actually had some live channelings on this call. But most often, I will either play a tape of a channeling or I will read a channeling. And tonight I'm going to read a channeling. And a channeling is the word used to describe when somebody is able to connect with the energy of these sources and allow their words to come through them. And this is an experience I've had. And I have to say, I didn't look for this. I wrote the book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, and 2 years into writing the book, I learned that I was being paid attention to, that this book was considered like a very important book, not because Edgar Cayce was back in a body, but because there was very valuable and vital information about what was happening on our planet right now that was not easily accessible to the common man. And by making the case of Edgar Cayce some 70 years ago and creating the credibility for Edgar Cayce, I see that there was a plot, so to speak, or a plan to bring Edgar Cayce back and to make the story connecting this person to Edgar Cayce so strong that people would have to pay attention to it. And because the credibility of Edgar Cayce was so well established, then people would have to give serious consideration to this new information being brought forth by this young man by the name of David Wilcock, who is the subject of the book I wrote, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. And I started to see the intelligence working behind the scenes, so to speak, to create this circumstance, to create the attention for this. Because if it wasn't for this circumstance of this connection, I don't think I would believe the information, nor would I suggest anyone else to believe anything because somebody has voices talking to them through someone else. As I've come to learn, just because somebody has voices talking through them in this process called channeling does not mean that those voices are positive or have a positive intent. And there's a criteria to determine whether these voices are positive. And positive means service to self or service to others, polarity. They're explaining that there's two ways of evolving in the universe. And one is service to self and service, the other is service to others. What we're always dealing about is attention. We all need attention. We all need things. And it's how we get the attention we need to live a fulfilling life, which determines, is one of the determining factors, whether something is service to self or service to others. People in the physical realm also exhibit service to self, service to other tendencies. Many of us have mixed polarities. Service to self means that you run your life attempting to trap other people's attention. And you do it various ways, but the most popular way is by creating fear. If you can create fear, then you can control somebody's attention. Service to other does not use agendas to get attention. It uses free will. And that is essentially the difference. And so I believe that the sources that have been communicating with me are service to others. They would identify themselves as such, but that's not enough to know for sure. One has to apply a criteria over a long period of time. For example, are they making decisions for me? Are they taking away my decision-making ability and taking away my own lessons of discernment? Are they creating fear? And are they building my ego, saying that I'm something special or better than anybody? Those are signs of what we could call a negative source. And much of our planet has actually been under the dominion of negative sources who can influence religion, can influence societies, anything. So it's always a challenge for a positive source to get into this realm and bring a message that is consistent and uplifting without it getting corrupted. For example, we've seen many times in religion where the teachings of many religions are very similar, and yet after a period of time from the original inspiration of that religion, people are thinking they're better, they think they're the better religion, and instead of having love for mankind in a undifferentiated way, people are expressing their love in a tribal way, in a way that is compressed to their people. And that is, to the best of my understanding, a contraction of the highest truth that one could experience here, which Christ was one of those who was a manifester of that truth when he said, love your neighbor as yourself. He didn't say love a Christian as yourself or love a black person as yourself. He said love your neighbor. It means every single being on this planet that's in a body, if you go far enough energetically, is part of yourself. And to be able to have the perception to view and look at people as part of yourself, to see that. Now, that's one thing to say it, and it's another thing to do it. And, of course, oftentimes we look at people and we see their weaknesses, we judge them, and in those aspects of doing that with other people, we are actually seeing the parts of ourselves that we don't like or that are corrupted. And when we see those parts in someone else, we judge them. Of course, we don't take the responsibility often as it being part of ourselves. We think we're better than them or finding reasons to feel superior. And this is the way our realm has gotten screwed up, because we have all these various factions vying for some kind of superiority, and the negative voices that come through people are actually playing that game and playing us against each other. And I'm going to take, there's a little booklet that's on our website, and the website is higher-vision.org. And the Elohim, as I said, I was writing the book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, and as I was writing it, I was saying, can this be true? And then 2 years into writing it, I'm given the opportunity to communicate with a voice that identifies itself as the Council of Elohim through a personal relationship. In fact, the person that did this channeling tonight is on the line. Her name is Terry. And but in the beginning, it was another person. And I had the opportunity to ask all these questions about the premises of my book, and I was getting answers, and the answers were exactly correlative to what was coming through David Wilcock, or The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. And essentially, the bottom line is that our planet is at the end of a 75,000-year cycle, which they call a dimensional shift. And the significance of that is that there's an energy which radiates from the center of our galaxy, which we could call the unified field, which is a precursor to all life. And that energy has peaks in it. And the peaks come every 75,000 years. And our solar system is moving through a peak of energy. And that is changing many of the parameters in our solar system in a physical way and also a metaphysical way, in ways that have never occurred before in the history of mankind. For example, the planets, Neptune has gotten brighter, 40% brighter in the last 30 or 40 years. Planets are changing their atmospheres. There's pole shifts on planets. And of course, on our planet, we see the evidence of changing weather patterns. We see increased natural disasters. And if you're reading the newspapers, you know that we've had vastly increased solar flares. And these are all connected with this 75,000-year cycle. And here's where it gets to the metaphysical part. Planet Earth, which is a consciousness and is alive, just as we are, and we exist in the field of planet Earth, in the aliveness of planet Earth, and Earth itself is growing. Earth itself, as a result of this cycle change, is moving from third chakra to fourth chakra, which means there's going to be a new paradigm on this planet. And that is, if you understand chakras, we are moving from the third chakra, which is power and individuality, to the fourth chakra, which is compassion and empathy. And in order for an individual entity, for you and I, to continue in this upgraded earth, we need to have our heart chakras open. Slightly more than half. We don't have to be perfect. They say 51%. If we don't have them open to that degree, we end up being moved to another planet in another star system to start over this level of lesson that we didn't learn here on Earth. And so they're explaining there's going to be a division of souls, and that many of Jesus's prophecies concerning one will be taken and one will be left behind related to this period and this circumstance that I'm describing of this dimensional shift. Although it was explained in a far more simpler terminology at the time of Jesus, they're talking about the same thing, but with a much more sophisticated perspective. And on the other side, there are positive and negatives, and two of the positive forces that are connected with us, as I said, are the Elohim and Ra. And these are two group souls, and they are available to assist us in this transformation. They're actually available to personally work with you as long as you have a high spiritual intent, as long as you are operating for the highest good of all concerned, then you can actually make a connection with these group souls. And they can come into your space most easily as light energy. And that is the way they're explaining it. And the people that have been on this line for a period, many of them have had some experience personally that validated that that was happening for them. And sometimes it takes a while checking in before you have that experience. You have to sometimes work out some of your trauma levels or belief patterns or being too mental to make the connection. But they say they're here, people are having a connection, and I'm going to read to you a few pages of one of the channelings, one of the questions and answers that was done with Terry Brown, who's on the line tonight. And this, there's about 70 pages which are available for free if you go to our website, higher-vision.org. Okay, so who are the Elohim and why are they connected with the evolution of the human race? We are a soul group whose purpose is to bring life and life forms to planets such as Earth. We then work with the life forms in the hope that the independent life forms will align themselves with higher interdimensional energies with the purpose of bringing heaven into the third dimension and transmuting third dimensional experience into a fruitful playing ground for learning the lessons of love, bringing wiser entities back into the fourth and fifth dimensions. When? Why doesn't the origination of life start out in a higher dimension instead of going through a dimension which is so difficult and challenging? Elohim. Life starts out beyond the dimensions, and dimensions are a limiting factor, a focusing mechanism for life. Each dimension has its own lessons. The third dimension is a lesson in limitation against odds to temper and strengthen the soul. Question: was the Elohim responsible totally or partially for the origination of life in this dimension. Elohim, life is everywhere. Life is. Life is beyond origination. It's the starting factor for everything. The origination of life by the creation of focusing mechanisms for life to express itself through is one of the jobs of the Elohim, to present focusing mechanisms. And in the implementation of this, we became adept at mathematics, geometrics, and rearrangement of intentions within the mathematical shapes, which then allow for focusing mechanisms for life. The intentions, once originated into the Dharma of the receptive life, continue in a geometric focusing state, allowing for life forms to express themselves through this multifaceted arrangement of geometric intentions. Now, this is when making a comment. You can kind of visualize that there is one source of energy in the entire universe, and that energy is flowing through the universe, and everything is part of that energy, and in particular, you and I. And right at this moment, we chose to make incarnations or to experience ourselves in a realm where we could not directly experience the flow of energy that we're part of, and that it takes effort in this realm to penetrate what they call the veil in order to re-experience the flow that was originally available to all beings in the universe. When? Question. When exactly in the history of our planet, in time as we measure it, did the Elohim begin an interaction with life forms here? And how did that start? What was the original plan? Elohim, there have been numerous starts and stops in the history of Earth. We began to focus on Earth at various times, aiding and fanning the hopeful family of humans into prosperity. After the Atlantis disaster, we hoped to renew the life force, sending Elohim star seeds from other sectors to reseed the Earth plane, hoping to establish a strong connection between the Anunnaki star seeds on Earth and the Elohim. Now, for some of you, this is Wayne making a comment, who are not familiar with the word Anunnaki. I believe another use of the word Anunnaki might be fallen angels that are in biblical times. That what happened was there were Elohim and other high beings that came into this realm and then lost themselves or forgot where their origins were, and they became attached to the power of in this realm and being at the top of a hierarchy. And so the Elohim can see this from the other realms, and it's caused this realm to be a little bit stuck in its evolution, and many people who have been under the thumb of these hierarchies. Now here's the Elohim speaking again. We became discouraged at the divergence of these star seeds into Earth activities and their forgetfulness of their Elohim origins. Again, in the Mormon religion, we began to send Elohim souls to be born in the waiting arms of their earthbound fathers. In another attempt to penetrate the earth plane and bring light, wisdom, and love to your planet. We had a vision of a clear connection between the celestial Elohim and Earth starseeds. But the veil clouded the connection, and as you reached out for us, we reached back, but the interaction of energies was dispersed by the veil. The human being is a composite, and as such, it contains within it factors of the veil. The veil, then, is hard to reach through and focus directly on the connection to the Elohim or other soul group. We hope to make the circuit whole and complete between the Elohim starseeds, and again, the Elohim starseeds are actually the Elohim who have come into this realm and gotten lost here, and to communicate to each and every one that we are there for them. We love them. When there is a whole and complete connection, we can co-create miracles, strengthen and support them in this difficult realm, and bring them into the rightful expression of their full potential, helping us to ground and manifest the joy and love of the celestial realms into the earth plane. It is a subtle shift in awareness that is needed to complete the connection. The homing signal of the Elohim is interwoven in the words we are expressing now, and all those who have been or desire to be connected to the celestial energies can find a beacon in the energies flooding in with these words and the words to come. We see you reaching out to us and long for the connection to be completed. Listen to our responses to your prayers. We are there for you in love and light and abilities to have miracles and coincidences. We enhance and give wings to the creation of answers to your prayers. We offer this to all those on planet Earth who can resonate with our energies and reach for our help. Question. Throughout history, the name Elohim has appeared in the most known way as the God of the Old Testament. Could you explain the Elohim's activities in the Old Testament? Was the Elohim involved with the biblical prophets that believed they were receiving messages from God? Ra is another group soul involved with the evolution of humankind. How have the Elohim and Ra interacted in this process of interdimensional connection with our planet? Elohim. The Elohim and Ra are indeed interacting. Ra is a basic foundation providing love and sustenance for much of creation. We work with Ra and are blended with Ra, and our actions are more directed towards providing focusing devices to connect in a more specific way with life forms. Ra connects in a more and general, sustaining, and loving way with life forms. We are more ready to work with life forms because of our history and the creation of life forms and our manipulation of mathematics, geometrical structuring, and forms. Wynn, you mentioned that you were involved with King Solomon. Specifically, how did you work with King Solomon? Were you able to communicate directly with him? Did he have people around him who were channels which allowed him to communicate with you? Were you involved with miraculous events occurring around Solomon? How did it manifest? Elohim, we were able to work with Solomon in that he was liquid and amenable to our energies and would allow his wisdom to amalgamate with our wisdom and to bring it through to his people. He was more advanced and wise than the people around him. They tended to be more self-serving, but he had a magic in being alloyed with us, and we could reach the people through the connection. We could descend over the people and bring a peace. When? So when you blended with him, he was able to bring you through his own consciousness? Elohim, yes. He was malleable and fluid, and we were able, in total harmony, to blend with him and bring through miracles of healing and wisdom, and he commanded a respect of his people that was rare to find. When? Why did the one infinite creator allow a realm to create itself like this one that has such a propensity to cause people to forget where they come from with the veil in place as it is? Elohim, it is not the one infinite creator that has decided this is the way it will be. Every part, every inch, every soul, every particle has its own path, which it is carrying through. It is part of the one infinite creator, and it is only by misidentification that he can become misdirected, and he identifies with that which is not his own. And that perhaps the biggest lesson that someone may have to become his own is to realize who he is in his own self, and who he is not. Because if he realizes who he is one that does remember and does know, and it is only misidentification and being too close together to other factors which are not his where he becomes confused and misdirected. I'm going to make a comment. When they talk about being close to other factors, what they mean is being close to each other. That as we have people in our proximity, we all are psychically connected where we participate in consensus realities. And within those realities, we start to identify them as really how it is, and we are not open to higher realities. When? Question. Why do we have a veil? Why was the body not created that could have a sensory apparatus that could penetrate other realms as opposed to having senses which could only register this realm? Elohim. The body is composed of particles of this realm, and as such, particles have their own path, their own genetics, and their own trail that ultimately have led to its own form. Everything starts from nothingness, and as creation manifests from nothingness, things become relative to each other. And if you go back to an individual who began as a nothingness, and add the other individuals or particles of matter, then you begin to have a veil because you are looking through things that are not yours. As a lady puts a veil over her face and looks through the veil is not hers, and the veil over her face distorts the view that she is looking through. As a soul, you take a body that's not yours, and it is projecting its own history, its own particles, and you're looking thus through a veil once you take a body. Why were things made this way? Things started with nothing. If you have nothing and you look through nothing, you have nothing. When you begin to take intentions that are of life, separate from your true essence, and you begin to look through those focused intentions, which create geometric patterns which form into bodies, then you are looking through a life which is other than your essence, which is now combined with your essence, and end up perceiving through a veil. The trick is to know who you are, your own patterns, your own intentions, and your own passions. That's why we indicate that your normal experience of yourself is the box of your beliefs and intentions, the body and all of its mechanisms, the family and all of its intentions and beliefs and projects and goals. And then you forget you can step out of all those myriad of geometric beliefs that keep you bound within the matrix of your life. You can step out of this matrix and can connect with the vibration of the higher dimensions, with Elohim, with Ra. And you can look at things anew, and you can renew yourself as yourself, not connected with the things which are not you, which you have taken to be you. It is a case of mistaken identity. The case of mistaken identity is one way of going astray. Okay? That's as much as I'm going to read of that reading right now. For those of you that are interested, you can go to higher-vision.org, and that entire reading is posted. Also, if you join Dimensional Shift, the website, which is listed on higher-vision, you can get the readings we do emailed automatically to your email. And we do readings on Monday and Tuesday. Wednesday through Sunday, we kind of do a prayer therapy for ourselves, for our friends, and for the planet without doing a reading. So we're going to close this evening with a calling in of the light. For those that are on the phone, we're going to continue and put our own personal expressions into this. And for those that are listening on BBS, you can think those things. There will be a space for that. And put your own connection with the light and with the Elohim and with these group energies in your own space right now. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the protection of the light to surround and protect each person on this line, and that any negativity be taken to the higher realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the Hunabku, the center of our galaxy, through our solar system, through the outer vibrational energy fields of our planet Earth, through our bodies, through each chakra, from the crown chakra, through our heart chakra, to the center of the Earth. I didn't say all the chakras, but just see them. And we join in a group energy right now with each other, for those of you that are free-willing to do that. And as we create this group energy with each other, we invite the Elohim and the Ra group and all positive service to other energies that wish to participate with us to blend with us right now. right in this moment to create a great, huge energy that we are anchoring on our individual points of location wherever we are on the planet. And as we have this energy created, we make requests for the highest good of all concerned. We send this energy around our planet through the energy fields in what are called grids. And we ask to fill those parts of the grids where no energy is present or where the energy is weak with this positive energy that we're creating. We send this energy to the Middle East. We send it to Washington. We send it to the principle of peace. We send it to cities in the United States and around the world where decisions are being made that can affect the billions of people on this planet. And we ask that it reach the compassionate parts of people making those decisions, that they might make decisions that are not out of a tribal consciousness, but of a planetary consciousness. We send this energy right now to our friends and our family and our homes and our own communities. And right at this moment, if there's anyone that you'd like to put in the light for the highest good of all concerned, for their healing, for their upliftment, please think of that person. Tap into this energy and send it to them. Requests, if you're listening and you'd like to be on the phone as opposed to the internet and share in this during the week, please check out our website and you will see how to get the access number. And it's 1027. Is Don on the line?
I heard his voice.
Okay. Well, I'm going to assume Don will cut us off whenever he's ready. And in the meantime, we will pass this around. Let me hang on a second.